It's a foggy night on old Cape Cod. A perfect night for a mystery. Tonight, Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater presents a Captain Waverly Underhill mystery entitled The Whereabouts of Heidi McNone.
A strange case, no doubt about that. Unusual, extraordinary, and as it turned out, highly personal, as it concerned my good friend, Dr. Alexander Schofield. It all began with the first headline that appeared on the front page of the Cape Cod Times on Thursday, July 17th. Lightning strikes Cape. Cape Cod couple hit lottery jackpot worth record millions. The next day's photo on the front page shows a flabbergasted Henry McNone standing behind a giant-sized bank check, big as a beach towel. His ecstatic wife beside him is holding their cute little girl. She is looking very nonplussed about it all. And the caption reads, Henry and Pamela McNone hold aloft their first installment from Wednesday's record jackpot. Daughter Heidi, age 4, can't figure out what's the big deal. The next important one isn't until approximately 2 months later. Ah, yes, here it is. Double capitals on the front page. Lottery child stolen. Heidi McNone abducted from parking lot. Mother hospitalized in serious condition. The next day, still no trace of Heidi. Mother's condition is upgraded to stable. The police and family are expecting a ransom demand. Henry McNone offers a substantial reward and pleads for information. Still more headlines. Lottery couple await word. Search for Heidi is widened. Mrs. McNone released from hospital. And let's see, here is, Lottery couple pledge entire winnings for safe return of Heidi. And at last, a real development. Stolen car recovered near main border, linked to missing child. And a week after that, this big headline. Heidi found. But the next edition proves the rumor false. Cruel hoax. Family faces bitter disappointment. Pamela McNone committed to sanitarium. And after that, not much. More stories, of course, but only rehashing what we already knew. This story had all the elements of a Greek tragedy. Fate decreeing great wealth, followed by tremendous loss. And the public's insatiable appetite for human interest stories guaranteed there had to be at least one mention in every day's edition. See, a month later, a fragile Mrs. McNone is released from the sanitarium, and the family enters seclusion. Henry McNone changes their plea for information to a plea for privacy, which gradually they get. Not because the public loses interest or the press suddenly gains respect, but with no new developments, the inexorable tide of human activity, like drifting sand dunes, covers yesterday's news while it exposes tomorrow's. The story gets buried. After that, it reemerges only in the troughs, on anniversary dates, with headlines that read, Missing child, still a mystery. Missing child, 1 year older. And this one, Heidi turns 5. Finally, on page 3, near the bottom, Heidi Memorial established. The McNones were gradually rebuilding their lives. Henry McNone went back to work. They were trying to have a second child. Recovery seemed a possible thing. And then came the beginning of their second nightmare.
Waverly, when was the last time you came to see me for a checkup?
Oh, a month ago, wasn't it?
It was 4 months. What was the last thing I did when we were finished?
I forget. You gave me a lecture, I suppose.
And I charged you. I always charge you.
Yes, I try to overlook it.
Well, that's because I believe it works better keeping things on a professional basis. I'm the doctor, you're the patient. You come to me seeking medical advice.
Not exactly seeking.
I can supply it freely without our friendship interfering.
Well, that's your way of looking at it. Yes. Are you leading up to something, Schofield?
Here.
What's this?
$500.
You're buying me dance lessons?
I want to hire you. I'm serious, Waverly.
You must be. What is it you want me to do?
I want you to take revenge on someone. I don't care how you do it.
Sit down, Alex. A personal vendetta? That's not like you.
It's not personal. It's professional. Anyway, I'm not the injured party, but I will definitely feel better when you do something about it.
Who is the injured party?
I'd rather not say.
All right. Who is the injuring party? Since you want me to take revenge, I'll have to know. And since your medical, ethical dander is up, I assume we're talking about another physician.
Worse.
Worse than a physician? It's hard to imagine.
Waverly, I'm not being funny. But you're right, she is worse. She calls herself a psychic healer.
Who?
Madame Paskanova, a psychic healer, my eye. If psychic healing means ripping open the wound of someone who's suffered enough already.
Tell me again, Alex, is this professional or personal?
It's professional. It's also personal somewhat. I happen to care about who's being injured.
Family member?
No.
A patient?
Is it necessary for you to know?
Probably bound to be if I'm going to help you.
Waverly, doctors aren't supposed to let this happen. I think I've fallen a little in love with one of my patients.
What? My goodness. Schofield.
Oh, she doesn't know. Nobody knows. But this is something I want to do. That's why I'm hiring you. I can't do it myself. I'm not clever enough.
Of course you are.
Oh, no. Clever enough.
Of course you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
You hang out with me, don't you? You know what they say. The clever cleave together.
Oh, conceited. All right. Call up devious, then. You're more devious than I am. But I want to hire you myself so I can feel like it was my doing.
What a romantic you are, Alex.
Oh, nonsense.
Probably never tell the girl, will you?
It's not for her I'm doing it. It's for...
For the profession. I know.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. All right, I'm hired. You hired me. Now, who are we talking about?
Well, you'll find out for yourself when you listen to this. Cassette, a recording. Not too good, but audible. Of Madame Paskanova conducting her psychic seance for the benefit of my patient and her husband.
Good grief. Your patient. Alex, you mean she's married?
Yes, and so am I. I know that.
I wasn't going to point that out.
Well, I told you why I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm. For the profession.
All right, give me my money back.
No, no. No, I understand your motives perfectly. I see this is important to you. Besides, I really do want dance lessons. I've been trying to teach myself, but getting nowhere. Let's listen to this cassette. How did you come by it?
It's Pamela McNone, Waverly.
Heidi McNone, the missing child. Her mother? You're in love with Mrs. McNone?
I don't love her. I admire her for all she's gone through.
You mean Pamela McNone has been your patient all this time?
Yes.
Totally unbeknownst to me.
I don't talk about my patients, Waverly. Waverly, if you had seen the pain this poor woman has gone through, it's been years, both she and her husband. I'm just getting her back on her feet and...
Oh? Have you had her off her feet?
All right. That does it. That does it. Give me my money back and hand me that tape.
I'm sorry, Schofield. I'm sorry. I apologize. I stepped over the line.
You certainly did. And furthermore, for your information, I love my wife. Waverly, we're men, so I don't think either one of us can understand the pain a mother goes through when she loses her child. Never have I seen a patient more crushed. She's gone through therapy. I've taken her from sedatives to tranquilizers to placebos and meditation. She was making it. And then to have it all destroyed in an instant because some fake charlatan, some gypsy carnival fortune teller, comes over here and starts selling them false hope in exchange for their lottery winnings.
I understand. Now, answer my question and tell me how you came by this tape. Did the McNones have a hidden tape recorder?
No. Madame Pascanova made the recording herself. She claims to conduct these seances out of a trance. She claims she never knows what goes on in them unless she records the session and plays them back. Malarkey. The McNones got the tape. Pamela. Oh, all right, Mrs. McNone. Let me listen. I'm holding on to that tape. It's going to be evidence in a criminal fraud trial someday.
Hmm. Then we'd better listen. Turn down the lights a little.
Ah, I am so glad you have decided to come, Mr. McNone. Ah, Madame McNone. I am Madame Pascanova. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Come in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please, come sit down. Please sit here. There is light for me to see you, Mr. McNoon. Sit here, Madam McNoon. This is your chair. You are comfortable?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Good. I am very much relieved you have come. You are both very much like I am being expecting. Such strong impressions I am been having of you, sir, of you, madam, that I am very... I'm sorry, do not move your chair.
I'm sorry.
Push it back. That is right. Thank you. You see, it is a matter of maintaining proper alignment. You see?
Yes.
Do you see?
Alignment, yes.
Here we are creating a human tuning fork. Transmitter and receiver to beyond. I, the antenna, you, the conducting wires. This room, the sound chamber. What we call the psychic magnifier to boost the signal.
Will I be able to talk to her?
I can make no promise.
If only I can talk to
please,
her.
Do not say her. Do not say him. Do not say anyone. I am a psychic channel. No more than telephone operator.
He's an operator, all right.
I have no reason to know anything. So tell me nothing.
She knows plenty. She's only pretending.
But I will help you as much as I can.
Oh, please.
Do you know how I find you? First, I visualize the world. I see K-Quad. I order a phone book from K-Quad. I wait 6 weeks. It comes. I run finger up, down, up, down, up, down, stop. I see Mr. Mrs. McNoon. I say, okay, time for vacation. Now, Madame Pascanova never goes out seeking her own clients. Madame Pascanova hates traveling, hates even to cross street, to cross ocean, to go around the world. Impossible. And yet, I am here. Why? Because I am forced to come. I am compelled to come. It is my mission to find you. You see, when you are a sensitive medium, as I, you are receiving messages all the time. Messages like little vibrating, high-pitched, like little telephones going off. And this one telephone is ringing and ringing and ringing, so urgent, so desperate. Someone is trying to get through to you.
Look how she's setting them up.
Who is it?
Quiet.
I do not know. I think maybe you do, or else you would not be coming here.
There's only one person we're interested in contacting. Our daughter, Heidi.
Can you tell me anyway? No, I cannot guess it is Heidi for sure. I cannot guarantee it.
I don't know. It's a lot of money.
Yes, but it is not likely. You searching for someone, someone searching for you.
Well, yes, but if there's no guarantee...
I feel it is a child's energy, I believe. Beyond that, I cannot say for sure.
If you can't say who it is, whoever it is, does that mean that person is dead?
Of course. Yes, it must be.
God, nation, look what she's doing.
Quiet, Sophia.
So very sorry, my child, but it must be so. You see, when it comes to contacting beyond, I am extraordinary, true. But contacting someone on this side of the veil, I am quite ordinary, I assure you. I must use the telephone or a letter.
Shall we go, honey? We can postpone.
Postpone, of course. Yes, you may always do that.
Let's go, honey.
But my advice to you is to go through with it. You have come this far. Do not turn away. It is scary because you feel the pain. It may cause, but do not turn away from the healing.
I believe... Well, we'll come back.
No. We have to go through with it. She's right. We can't turn away. We can't. If there's any chance. Except, I don't know if I can stand it. If it's her. And yet, I've been longing to. So longing. Will you help us? Please, get through to her. Please.
Madam McNuna, but do not overstrain yourself. You will be in contact with her presence very shortly, I am sure of it, if you only stay calm. Have a glass of water. I will talk to your husband.
I'll do it alone.
No, it is much better for the both of you. A human tuning fork, stronger connection. Besides, I think she, more than you, needs to receive this message. You have deposited the money in the account as I directed?
Well, not quite. I opened a new account. I put the money in there. Here. There's a certified check drawn on the account in your name.
Very well, my niece. Will do. And thank you for your generosity.
I guess if it works, it's worth it.
It will work. It will be worth it.
So, what do we do?
We simply sit just as we are doing now and be comfortable. I will put off some lights. Put on some candles. We will just chat. Just as we are doing now. We are going just to talk. Gradually, I will stop talking. But you may continue on. Do not pay any attention. I will be daydreaming. Then I will be sleeping. Who knows? Maybe snoring. Sometimes I do. After that, I will be in a very deep state of trance. I cannot come out. You cannot wake me. Talk loud, shake me, whatever. Only if you touch me, right here, right on the back of my right wrist, will I come back into possession of my body. But you must give me time to come back.
I want to talk to
you. It has been my experience that every experience is different. I told you when I wrote to you, you may hear voices. You may see objects move. You may hear my voice talking. It will not be me. You may see things materialize.
Will I be able to...
It's also been my experience that not all questions will be answered. Do not keep asking. It is better to move on and come back to it. But do not be afraid to ask any questions. You have 1 hour. Unless you call me back sooner... While I am in France, you will be in direct contact with the beyond. I will be the opening. This room will be the magnifier. But there are two conditions. Since those in the spirit world have contact with the past, the present, as well as the future, you may not ask any questions that is meant to bring you personal gain, nor cause anyone any harm. Only healing must come, or nothing shall.
If she says healing one more time, I'll go.
Alex, did you ever sit in a movie theater behind someone with a hat on that was way too big?
No.
Well, that's what your mouth is to my trying to listen to what's on this tape.
Oh, sorry.
The second condition, as I wrote you in my letter, as you see over there, I am recording this session. Here is the microphone here. Since I am in a trance state, I cannot know what is happening. But I am curious, I admit. I would like to listen afterwards, but only with your permission, which I will ask for you after we are done. Unless and without you give me your permission, this station shall be strictly private. For your ears only. Now we begin. And it will not be very long, I think. The spirit is very anxious to make contact.
She's already gone off.
What do we do?
Keep talking, she said. Do you hear something?
I as well. Henry, it's her well.
It looks like.
Oh, no, death. Baby, honey, we're here. It's all right. Mommy's right here.
Honey.
I'm right here.
Honey, Heidi, it's Daddy. Where are you? Tell us where you are.
Can she not? I'm right here. Heidi, I'm here, baby. Oh, God. She's going away. Oh. She can't hear us. She's going away.
Heidi, come back.
I've lost her again. Oh, my God. I can't stand this. No.
Pamela. Pamela, don't let me lose you, too.
No.
You've got to come out of it, Pamela. Oh, why did I let you go on with this? That's it. That's enough. I'm ending this right now. Madame, wake up. I touched your hand. Wake up. Pamela, don't fall over. I'm going to help you with your coat. Stand up. Here now. Now, other arm. Okay, sit back down. I'll carry your hand back. I'll drive you to the sanitarium.
What happened? What? You are finished?
We're finished.
My baby. Your wife. What is the matter?
It was too much for her.
I called an ambulance.
No. I'm driving her. You can help me get her down the stairs.
This has happened before.
Yes.
You will not blame me, I hope.
I'm not blaming anyone.
It worked. You got through?
Yes.
It was not healing?
No, it was horrible. You should leave the dead alone. Come on, darling. Let me lead you.
You will not blame me? You will come back? Wait! Wait! You forgot your tape.
Her recovery is starting all over again. I'm a charitable man, Waverly, but I want to avenge this.
I can see why. And yes, you are a charitable man, Alex. I agree with you.
You can see why that tape is going to be evidence in a criminal fraud trial.
I take it you weren't impressed.
With what?
The psychic phenomenon.
A couple of parlor tricks.
Heidi's voice, the baby rattle. They both recognized them immediately.
A plastic baby rattle? There must be millions just like it. Heidi's voice? A child's voice, yes, but I've doctored thousands of children. They all sound alike at that age.
To you, maybe, but not to their parents.
What are you doing?
I'm consulting my stacks of newspapers. I want to see if that photo is... here it is.
Which one?
The one taken just after the McNones won the lottery. You're right. There's Heidi. She's holding the rattle.
Just exactly so. That's how Madame Pascanova knew about the rattle. It's a snooker game, Waverly. She's setting them up so she can charge even more next time.
I think it's very strange that she made this recording.
What do you mean?
Well, you said yourself this could be evidence. Normally, a person committing fraud would not want a recording made.
Well, I think she did it for the reason she said.
That means her trance was real. That makes her real.
No, it doesn't. Not necessarily. It's just part of the act she's putting on. This is a confidence game, Waverly. That's plain, isn't it? She's after their money.
You're inclined to think that way because you suppose the child's voice could be any child. I'm inclined to think it's the real Heidi. That makes Madame Pascanova a likely candidate to have stolen Heidi in the first place. This recording proves she either has Heidi captive or did at one time.
Oh, I am stupid. Why didn't I...
After this long, it's likely she's dead. That could be the reason Madame Pascanova is taking this seance approach. Not a straightforward ransom, but still an effective means of extorting money. And at less risk. If she's charged with a crime, most likely it'll be fraud, not kidnapping and murder. Not unless we can find more evidence.
Why was I so stupid not to think about...
Not stupid, Alex. A little love-struck, maybe. You're concentrating on Pamela. I'm thinking about Heidi.
I'm thinking about Heidi, too.
There is very little chance she's still alive.
Waverly, I'm so relieved you're going to be handling this.
Don't be too relieved. If I'm handling it, so are you. You can't just hire me. If you're going to play Sir Galahad, you have to be willing to pick up the lance.
Waverly, I am finding your teasing to be intensely irritating.
Will your patient and her husband be going back for another session?
Her, definitely not. She's back at Clover Knoll Sanitarium. She's in no shape for it. Henry McNone, however, has already made an appointment for going back next week, next Friday.
Good. Then we have some time to figure out what you're going to do.
Well, now, look here, Waverly. Of course I'm willing to help. But this romantic notion is ridiculous. Chivalry has nothing to do with it. I just think you should use whoever is best qualified, you or the FBI, but not me. I'm only an old physician, not an expert in law enforcement. I'm not trained for this. It's just that you're so much better at knowing what to do in situations. I'm Alexander Schofield. How do you do?
Pleased to come in. I am Madame Pascanova. You are comfortable, Mr. Schofield?
Oh, yes.
You are relaxed?
Yes, I'm relaxed.
Please, loosen your tie. Everything will go better if you are more relaxed.
All right. How's that? I'm relaxed.
You are acting nervous. No need to be nervous.
Well, I can't help it. Contacting the spirit world is not something I do every day. You're used to it, I imagine, if this is what you do all the time, so of course you must be used to it.
True. Many times I have done this, but of course I am always sleeping through it. You will be awake. Tell me, this Mr. Underhilda, he was good friend?
Oh, certainly he was.
Do you have a photo of him?
No, I don't carry one.
Then to please describe him?
Tall, white-haired, florid complexion, wears a bow tie.
Wears a bow tie?
He did... Actually, he still does. He was buried in his coffin wearing one.
And you wish to contact his spirit.
That's right.
Yes, I feel it will be quite possible you will be successful in contacting the spirit of your departed friend, Mr. Waverly Underhill, and that he will reach out to you across the void.
That's what I'm hoping.
We shall see. I have your payment. You understand all conditions?
I understand them.
Please, do not be nervous. Take more breaths. You have 1/2 hour, or you can always wake me sooner by touching right here on my wrist.
I've got that.
Are you sure you're...
Yes, never mind my nervousness. I just like to get started.
All right. Very well. We shall now begin. It shall be my fondest wish to help this person, Mr. Schofield, contact his friend, Mr. Waverly Underhill. Waverly Underhill.
Madame Pascanova, wait. Can we start again? Wake up. Wake up! Waverly! Waverly!
Is everything all right?
No, I was horrible. I was so nervous.
Is she in her trance?
I think so. Take a look.
She looks pretty out of it. How do you do, Madame Pascanova? Are you hearing me? Are you faking it? Anyway, we're about to find out. Here's your doctor's bag, Alex. Get started on her. I'm going to search this room. Here's a tape recorder. Run it.
Should we switch it off?
No, let it run. We'll decide what to do once we determine whether Madame here is faking or for real. Your brainwave monitor is going to tell us. She's about to find out. You can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fake your own brainwaves. There's a closet over here, and I better have a look into that. Let me have that flashlight out of your bag. The candlelight is the worst light in the world to examine anything by. The light it throws is obfuscating and illusory. Probably why they all use it. Stop. What are you doing?
Well, you said candlelight was bad.
Well, not to blow them out. That will leave a sooty smell. She might notice it when she wakes up.
No, well, what do I do?
Well, relight them. Stop.
What?
Not with a match. They stink, too. Light them off one of the candles that's already lit.
Waverly, I hate this. I told you I'm no good at it.
Oh, shut up and examine her. Seems a pretty normal closet. Clothes, shoes, and hat boxes. An exceptionally large number of feather boas. Seem to be no hidden panels, no hidden speakers, although they could take much longer to locate. For example, Heidi's voice could have come from that light fixture up there. I could stand on the desk to reach it, but now I think I'm going to concentrate on this desk first.
Why?
She came from around the world, remember? She couldn't have brought this entire room over, but she might have had this desk shift over here. Now, exactly where did the baby rattle materialize?
I think right on that corner there.
It feels solid, but what's underneath? I'd like to tip it up, but we'd better not. It's just as I thought. This whole side of drawers is locked. I think I can manipulate this lock, but I need a little operating room. Can we slide her back?
Well, it appears you can do anything. She's completely limp. She has no flinch responses when I touch her. Her eyes are rolled up. I can't even see what her pupils are doing.
Never mind. Set the brainwave monitor. Then we'll know for sure.
So now, Waverly, I've got to hooch her forward again. These wires won't reach.
Don't bump me.
Sorry. Anyway, she did it. It was her knee. Oh, darn it.
What?
These little stick'em patches are supposed to peel off. There, I've got it. That goes on her left temple. There, that one peeled off a lot easier. Goes on her right temple. Now I switch this on. Oh, darn, one fell off. Oh, my God, Waverly.
Don't bump me.
One of the patches fell off her forehead.
So put it back.
It landed on her wrist.
Her wrist? That'll wake her up. Oh, my God. Quick, pack everything up, Alex, quickly. Clean it up. The flashlight. Take it.
I'll let you out.
Watch out now. Close it.
Mr. Schofield, you are finished already?
I'm finished.
It has only been 5 minutes.
Yes, well, nothing much was happening, so I...
Mr. Schofield, you are finished already?
I'm finished.
It has only been 5 minutes.
Yes, well, nothing much was happening, so I decided to bring you back early.
You did not hear from your friend?
No.
That is too bad.
No, nothing much happened, I'm afraid, so I guess I'd better...
My chair is moved back. How did I move?
You did that yourself. At one point, you suddenly jerked, and it made you roll backwards. I thought you were going to fly over backwards.
I did that. Well, you'll never know. Look at these wax. These candle drips of wax. How did they get here?
Candle wax?
Did you do it?
No, that was the wind.
What wind?
This big gust came along all of a sudden out of nowhere and almost blew them out. It was the darndest thing.
And what happened after that?
Nothing. That was it. I'd really better be going. Say, would you walk me out to my car?
What is this on the floor?
What is what? I'd better be going.
This on the floor, a doctor's coat?
I think it is, you're right, a stethoscope.
It must have materialized then?
Yes, I think it did. Come to think of it, I remember there was a sound I heard, like something fell into the room. I didn't see it. It must have been this.
Was your friend a doctor?
That's right. I almost forgot he was. Dr. Underhill. So, how about that? This proves he actually sent me a message. Isn't that great? Can we walk out now?
Well, yes, but don't forget your tape.
Oh, my God, the tape. Yes, I don't want to forget that.
Of course, it is yours. But may I first rewind to hear the gust of wind? That is strange. I have never heard that.
No. I couldn't let you.
Why not? You said nothing happened.
No, there was more, but it's too personal.
Of course. I respect your right to privacy. Only there is no need to lie. Huh? What was that?
Waverly's ghost. Spirits from the otherwise trying to reach me. Quick, Madame Paskinova. Go back into your trance.
I don't think so. Who are you? Gone out!
Sorry, Alex. Feather boas.
Who are you?
My name's Underhill. Any calls for me?
You are Dr. Underhill?
I am.
He's not.
Which is it?
He's not the doctor I am. I'm Dr. Schofield. He's Waverly Underhill.
Waverly Underhill, you don't look dead. How did you get into my closet?
I materialized.
No, you did not.
No, Waverly, let me handle this.
You do not need to explain. Madame Pasikinova knows why you have come to prove me a fake, aren't you?
I believe you are a fraud, yes.
And I believe you are a quack.
Maybe so. But I know neither one of us is qualified to be called a healer.
I am a psychic healer. Why not I call myself that?
Because you don't heal anyone.
No? Let us say I can see you are walking towards a hole and you don't see it. If I can warn you so you do not fall in, is that not healing? If I can cure you on a deeper level so you need not manifest on this level, is that not healing someone?
No, it isn't. That's ridiculous. It lets you say anything.
It lets me say what I see.
Oh, right.
For example, I see you. You are a doctor.
I told you.
You are not quite retired, but you are thinking about it.
That's a safe guess.
You have a little palsy that makes you think you should retire soon.
Yeah, you can see that.
You had a brother who was in the military.
You're stabbing in the dark with safe guesses. Anyway, it's not true.
Not true? He not wear uniform?
Did he?
Salvation Army. That doesn't mean... That...
I see also that you are wounded in love.
Look here. We are not discussing me.
And what about you, Mr. Naughty Boy hiding in the closet? What do I see about you? I see you are his friend, but you also like to investigate. I think you think this whole plan up. It was your idea. You are someone who is thinking all the time. You have impressive powers of concentration. Most people can concentrate at most for 1 hour or two. You can concentrate for a whole week. You are thinking even now.
I'm thinking it's time we apologize, Schofield, and ask to excuse ourselves.
Waverly!
Wait! There is someone here who knows you, who is here now. I feel you know this person. You knew her. A woman, white dress, white hair, wire rim glasses. She is reaching out to you. She is smiling. I see that she could be your grandmother. But she is warning you. Watch out. She is shaking her finger at you. No, not shaking it, wagging it. Like this. Like windshield wiper, she is saying, beware. Watch out for flying objects.
Oh, stop this.
And you. You should be careful of stairs.
Oh, stop this. I see what you're doing. Some form of hypnosis, but it's not going to work. You're still going to be arrested.
You arrest me? How about I arrest you? What else did you do while I was in trance? Did you steal?
Oh, of course not.
Did you touch me? You touched me, didn't you?
I examined you as a physician.
As a physician? Examining woman while she is sleeping without her permission. What will happen to your fine reputation as doctor if I have you arrested?
All right, fine. Let's do it. Let's call the police.
Hold on, Alex. You were doing fine up to that point.
But Waverly...
Madame Pasikinova, now is when you must decide if you're going to press charges. Otherwise, we'd like to apologize for our behavior and excuse ourselves.
Waverly!
Very well. I will accept.
Thank you.
Waverly.
Let's go, Alex.
Yes, you may go.
But Waverly, we haven't even confronted her.
Not now.
Wait. Just one moment before you go. I have something for you, Mr. Underhill. It is in my desk. I will get it. There is a paper clip. in this lock?
It's mine. I left it.
Next time, try asking me for key. You see, I have nothing in here but junk anyway. But I know I will find something. Ah, yes. That woman tells me to give you this to you. Goodbye, gentlemen.
A daffodil. What does that mean?
It was my grandmother's favorite flower.
Waverly, every grandmother loves daffodils.
She did used to wag her finger that way.
They all do that. Come on, let's go.
Wait a minute.
Why?
The stairs.
Oh, ridiculous.
Let me go first, anyway.
Don't you see? Her answers are so general. It lets her say anything. All of us should be careful on stairs. Beware of flying objects. Beware of falling objects. Beware of frozen objects.
Good evening.
Good evening. I see you changed the room.
Some more of my things I have had sent over. My books, my paintings and portraits, my favorite figurines, my chandelier. I am enjoying Cape Cod. I am planning to stay a while. Yes, those are my statues.
I was just going to ask, who are these two on your mantelpiece?
You do not recognize them?
No.
No? Each bust is the face of a famous person. He was a famous American.
I don't know him.
That is Harry Houdini, born in Appleton, Wisconsin. Although actually he was born in my native Budapest. This one is an Englishman, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. There was Martin Blavatsky, too, but she broke.
Coming over?
No, it was a goofball that did it. Once, during seance, suddenly, out popped out of nowhere a goofball, ricocheting off the walls, off the ceiling, bang, smash, broke it. A disappointed golfer, I think.
The same way Heidi's rattle materialized?
That is right. Around me at any time, things may drop in. I had a doctor's stethoscope recently. My desk drawers are becoming cramped. I will light the candles now. How is Madame McNone?
Let me do that for you.
No, thank you. How is Pomina?
Better. She's still in the sanitarium.
That is too bad. The strain was much too much for her.
It was. Why Houdini? Why Conan Doyle?
They were both great crusaders against false mediums and mystics. Yet both were believers, too. In fact, while Arthur Conan Doyle was writing The Last of Sherlock Holmes, he was traveling around the world preaching his belief in spiritualism. You are a believer, Mr. McNone?
Well, I'd look foolish coming back if I wasn't, but oh, I do feel a little foolish.
That is all right. What is it you wish to do?
Contact her again. I want to find out more about what happened to her.
I see. Now, do you have your payment?
Oh, yes. Right here. It's a little more than last time.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate your generosity. It is always a pleasure to... Stop! Who is there? Who is that? Oh, it's you, Madame McNone.
Pamela, you shouldn't have come.
I can't come. No one has the right to deny me my daughter. I'm a parent, too.
But you're not up to it. Look, you're not even dressed. You're in your slippers. You're wearing a nightgown under that coat.
I had to come.
Then we're not going through with it. Not at all.
Henry, no. Henry, don't
deny me this.
No, I forbid it.
There is another way. A way that will save your life too much suffering.
How?
Last time when you spoke to Heidi, it was like an open telephone line. It was too direct. This time will be more indirect. Less like a telephone, more like telegram.
How do you mean?
By using one of the very oldest instruments. The Ouija. A Ouija board?
How does it work?
The same as before. I will enter my trance. You will ask your questions. They will be answered by the Ouija. You will have 20 minutes, or you may touch me on the wrist any time to come out sooner. Shall we now begin?
All right.
It shall be my fondest wish to help Mr. and Mrs. McNown contact the spirit of their missing daughter. Heidi, please, come to us. How do you like my room?
What?
Oh, I think it's all right. We may chat. I was telling your husband I have had more of my things sent over. I am very much enjoying my stay on Cape.
She's under. What do we do? I guess we wait. Look, the candles are getting brighter, aren't they? They're twice as bright. Now, wait a minute. They're dimming down. I... Listen!
I hear wind.
But look. The candles are blowing out. One by one.
There's no wind, I tell you.
We're in the dark. What do I do?
Sit here. Heidi?
I see a light.
Where?
There. Against the wall. Traveling up. It's reaching the Ouija board.
Heidi? Heidi!
It's spelling. M-O-M-M Mummy.
Heidi, honey. Where are you?
D-E-A Dead.
You're dead? Oh, you are, baby. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Where are you now, Heidi?
H-E-A-V-E Heaven? You're in heaven? Oh, that's so good.
Why? Oh, you are in H-E-L-L? You're in hell?
That's right, sugar, that's right. That's what it feels like every day. That's what I've been going through.
C-A-N-T-B. R-E-A-T-H-E. What's that spell? Breathe. What does she mean?
I can't breathe. That's her asthma.
Heidi, tell us what happened to you. D-E-A-D. Yes, I know, but how?
Henry, don't ask it. I can't stand it. I don't want to know.
Well, I
want
to know.
Go ahead, then.
Heidi, tell us how you died. M-U-R-D-E-R. Murder?
Did those people who took you murder you, honey?
Y-O-U-R. In hell?
Henry, don't ask anymore. I can't stand it. If you don't stop, I'm just going to go crazy.
Go crazy, then.
Well, is that how it is?
Heidi.
Go ahead, then.
Heidi, honey, you know we love you. Both your mother and I, we'd never do anything to intentionally harm you. It was an accident. You just got spanked. Instead of your asthma, that's why you died. Isn't that right? M-O-T-H.
H-E-R. Yes, your mother spanked you. It set off your asthma. S. M. O. T. H. E. R. Smother? You suffocated because of your asthma. P. I. L. L. Pillow. Pillow. Pamela. Lied to me. You told me.
You say one word in me.
The best of Houdini. Conan Doyle. My God. Pamela. What are you doing? Put that gun down. Don't point it at me. Don't. Wait. Pamela, behind you. There's a ghost. The ghost! Look! The ghost! Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Don't shoot me! Don't shoot me! Don't shoot me!
Shut up, you imbecile! I'm not going to! Unless you force me.
Look, why did you shoot her?
Because she was a fake.
I don't think she was.
You don't, huh? Take a look at your ghost. Seems a pretty solid ghost to me.
I thought she was a real medium.
I know you did. I know. That's why you came back here, isn't it? Because you doubted me. Only now see what you've caused. These two people had to die.
Oh, I thought she was real.
It was a shakedown from the start, like I thought it was. Only they thought they saw a way to turn it into blackmail.
Pamela, did you lie to me?
Oh, Henry, why are you letting yourself be fooled? They were lying. That guy lying there was providing the answers on the Ouija, not Heidi. Only he was guessing in the dark. Henry, look what they've done. Now they've made you doubt me, too. You don't trust me. I could never kill Heidi. But who's going to believe me? Who's going to? If even my husband won't. Say it, Henry.
Oh, I believe you.
Where's the money you paid her?
She put it in that drawer. It's not locked. Look, our address and appointment book are here.
Take them.
What are you doing?
She was recording the seance, too, wasn't she? I think we'd better not leave this behind. Now, wipe off any fingerprints. Did you touch anything else?
No.
Then let's go.
Close the door?
No. Don't touch it. Leave it open. All right. That's everything.
Waverly, where are you?
Waverly, lie still. Don't move. Let me examine you. What happened?
Shot.
Yeah,
my vest stopped the bullet.
A vest.
Go and check on Madame Bastien.
A vest. Yes, you are wearing one.
Yes. We go and check on her.
You're all right?
Yes. Except I feel like I got kicked by a mule.
Well, lie still. Don't talk, Waverly. Well, what's been going on? I don't know. You've been up to something in secret. I followed you here. I saw you enter. Then Henry McNone. Then a little while later, Pamela rushing in her nightgown. Then I just saw the two of them rushing out. I couldn't figure it.
How is she?
Looks like, Waverly, she's dead.
Oh, no. No, how? My God, did the bullet miss her vest? She's wearing one, too.
No, I can't find a wound. No blood. Possibly a heart attack. I'm not getting any pulse.
Wait a minute. Try touching her on the wrist.
The wrist? Oh, yes. On the wrist. I'll try it.
Let's pray it works.
Waverly, who shot you? Was it Henry McNone?
I'm very sorry, Alex. It was Pamela.
That's not possible.
She pulled the gun. She pulled the trigger.
Well, you frightened her. You were up to one of your tricks.
She tricked us, Alex.
Tricked us?
You and me. Especially you, I'm afraid.
No, that's not...
Thank God. She's all right.
You were right. She's reviving.
That brave lady did a very courageous thing.
What?
Helping me to stage this phony seance. She put herself in the line of fire.
Lie still, please. I'm Dr. Schofield. You may be injured. Don't move until I examine you. Waverly, what do you mean she tricked us?
The first seance was phony, Alex. Not because Madame Pastanova was faking it, because they were. As soon as Madame Pastanova slipped into her trance, the two of them put on a performance.
A performance? What for?
For the sake of the tape recording that was being made of the seance. For the sake of anyone who listened to it, who was bound to believe forever afterwards that Pamela McNone was totally innocent of her crime.
What crime?
She murdered Heidi, Alex.
Oh, I don't believe that. That's not possible.
It's true, Alex. Pamela McNone represents a certain class of criminal. The kind who will commit a crime but feel no guilt about it whatsoever. And yet what obsesses them is the possibility that someone might think they are guilty. And for that, they will go to extraordinary lengths to prove to others they're not, even when they are.
A very unbalanced person. Very self-destructive. May I move now, Dr. Schofield?
Slowly does it.
Captain Underhill, did I do right?
You did perfectly.
When I heard that first shot, I quickly decided a trance is best place for me. I will come out later when it is safer. Is it safer now?
Yes, it is.
I'd better call the police.
Don't have to. They'll be coming back.
Who will?
The McNones, Pamela and Henry.
Back here? Why?
Yes, why?
To retrieve what they forgot to take with them. The tape recording of this seance. Except now it's a taped confession. Perfectly legal, too, since they knew they were being recorded.
No, Waverly, I'm afraid not. The tape's missing out of the machine. They took it.
Not really. Check where the microphone cord leads to, Alex. The tape recorder I was using is located behind that wall. The cassette they took was a copy of my dance lessons. 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1, 2, 5, and 6. When they discover what's on there, they'll have to come back. This time I'll be the one with the gun. We should be ready in case they come back soon. Madame Pastanova, when they arrive, if you'll hide in the closet.
No, I think I should be in the same position on the floor where I was, don't you think?
All right. Alex, you hide in the closet.
I'm not hiding in a closet.
Oh, fine. Everybody do exactly as they please. Just don't get in the way.
I will lie down.
I'll be over here. How long will we wait?
My guess is not long.
What sort of seance did you put on in here? Where did that chandelier come from?
Props.
Oh, it was marvelous. He did everything. He made the candles to burn brighter.
Extra oxygen I pumped into the room.
He made a mysterious wind blow the candles out one by one.
It wasn't wind. I had pre-cut the candle wicks.
He made the room to shake.
I borrowed something from the local hardware. One of those machines for shaking up cans of paint.
He made Heidi's words spell out on the Ouija board.
A holographic projector I acquired from a scientific catalog.
Waverly, you said she murdered Heidi. But how? How is that possible?
Give some of the blame to the lottery system, Schofield. People always imagine that winning is going to solve all their problems. What it does, actually, is to give rise to a whole host of temptations. New temptations, evil temptations, temptations that otherwise would never come up. Suddenly free of all financial constraints, Pamela faced a huge one. The temptation to really start over. The only thing standing in her way, A little runny-nosed nuisance of a kid she didn't want to be saddled to anymore.
Oh, it's hard to believe a mother could...
I know, it sounds monstrous. But ask yourself how many monsters might be lurking in all of us, ready to come flying out if we are suddenly granted the means to do exactly as we wish.
Some winners are wiser. They do good. They give to charities. How did they produce Heidi's voice if she was already murdered?
It wasn't necessarily Heidi's voice. Mama and Papa only had to pretend that it was. But I think it was her voice anyway. Possibly a tape recorder left on in the child's nursery to record if Heidi woke up while her parents were out celebrating. It could have been the real Heidi waking out of a nightmare, crying out for her mummy. As for where it came from the same place as the baby rattle materialized. Came out of Pamela's handbag.
Oh, poor Heidi. Imagine crying out for a mother who could murder you.
I'm sorry, Alex. I'm sorry you had to be so badly disappointed.
Oh, it's all right. I'll recover.
That's certainly no less reflection on you, on your good intentions.
Madame Paskinova, I suppose I owe you an apology.
You are being careful upstairs?
Maybe I am, a little bit.
That is good. Keep it up. Do you know what I find very ironic? I have come all this way, across the ocean, to use my special powers to be of service. 3 times we have seance, not once was real. First time, I am in my trance, McNone's faking. Second time, I am in my trance, you and Dr. Schofield are faking. Third time, Waverly and I are faking. Not one time was real.
But you did prove your powers to me.
Did I?
You warned me about flying objects. I chose a bulletproof vest to protect me from the most obvious type. Schofield is now being more careful on stairs.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm admitting to believing in any of this.
Admit what you want, Alex, but I'll give you something to mull over. During the height of our fake seance a few minutes ago, I had everything orchestrated to go off at once. The room shaking, the chandelier tinkling, books flying off the shelves, porcelain busts falling off the mantelpiece. And the portraits you see hanging on the walls were swinging on their hooks.
So?
They were swinging by themselves. I never arranged it.
You said yourself the room was shaking.
Not enough to cause that.
That is very interesting you say that. Ever since I woke up, I have not been having the feeling that the spirit is trying to get through, trying to deliver a message. Whatever it was, perhaps the message has already been delivered.
Then that means after tonight, you're on vacation.
Vacation?
Petrina is going to be staying.
Petrina?
I have decided to stay a while on Cape Cod. Waverly has offered to show me around.
Yes. Yes, we're going to take dance lessons together. You come too. Bring that fine wife of yours.
Yes, do join us, please. I need much more help to conquer these complicated dance steps Waverly is teaching me.
I might, except... Well, I thought you just said, be careful of steps.
Here comes another car. It's them. Get ready.
You have been listening to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater's presentation of The Whereabouts of Heidi McNone. The actors in tonight's play, Dave Ellsworth played Captain Waverly Underhill.
The inexorable tide of human activity, like drifting sand dunes, covers yesterday's news while it exposes tomorrow's.
Wally O'Hara was Dr. Alexander Schofield.
Oh, this big gun came along all of a sudden out of nowhere and almost blew them out. It's the darndest thing.
Bernadette McPherson played Madame Petrina Paskinova.
Out of nowhere, a golf ball ricocheting off the walls, off the ceiling, bang, smash.
And Marie Lang played Pamela McNone. Jeff Kamish was Henry McNone.
Hello, Pamela. You lied to me.
And Catherine Oney was Heidi. This show was produced, written, and directed by Stephen Thomas Oney. Audio engineering by John Todd. Original music by Mark Birmingham. Recorded at HT Recording Studio, Cape Cod and Rosemead, Los Angeles. Copyrighted by Stephen Thomas Oney for Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater. Special thanks to Debbie Oney, Peter Whittier, and the Keeper of the Knobska Light. This is Bob Nolan wishing you a pleasant evening and inviting you to tune in again when the fog rolls in on another chapter of Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater.